Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, what's up? This is Michael Rapaport, brand new I Am Rapaport stereo podcast. Today's guest is Utah Jazz forward Jonas Jerebko from the country of Sweden. I love this guy. I love his story. He's talking about how he grew up in Sweden, wind up playing in the professional basketball leagues in Sweden. I didn't even know that existed. Wind up playing professional basketball in Italy, and then finally made it to the NBA. This podcast is going to feel like a movie. Matter of fact, I'm calling this episode of the I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast with Jonas Jerebko, Lost in Translation with Utah Jazz forward Jonas Jerebko. First, I'm going to do my thing, then we're getting to him. It's the I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast. Let me hear something real funky, real nice. Let's go. Listen, you want to have a good time? You got to have a good suit. Every man looks better in a suit. Every man looks even better in a custom suit. Indochino is the largest custom apparel company in the world. I love the wide selection of high quality fabrics and the option to personalize all the details, including the lapel, the jacket lining, the monogram, and so much more. Here's how it works. You pick a fabric, choose your customizations, submit your measurements, place your order, and wait for your custom suit to arrive in 3 weeks or less. Listen, you guys know how picky and irritable I am. I tried this out. I sent in my measurements. I just got a beautiful custom suit from Indochino. I look fantastic. I look like a zillion bucks, and I feel like a kabillion bucks, okay? You want to look good? You got to have a good suit. You want to look really good? You got to have a custom Indochino suit. You can shop online at Indochino.com or visit any of their showrooms across North America. Say my name. Use the name Rapaport. Type in the name Rapaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. That's the promo code, the password, to get you hooked up for a custom suit at Indochino. I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O. Listen to me. This week, right now, my listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $359 at Indochino.com, Indochino.com, and use the promo code Rapaport at checkout. That's over 50% off the regular price for a premium made-to-measure custom suit. You want to have a good time, you got to have a fantastic custom-made suit. All right, All new I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. My name is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo, a.k.a. White Mike, a.k.a. Mr. White Folks. If you've never listened to the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast, we pride ourselves on being the only mainstream top five dead or alive podcast that prides itself on no fact checking. So this is what's going to go down today. So as I told you, Utah Jazz forward from Sweden, born and raised in Sweden, Jonas Jerebko, got to sit down with him, talk about how he wound up in the NBA, what it's like playing pro basketball in Sweden, what it's like playing pro basketball in Italy, and finally getting drafted to the Detroit Pistons. Last year, he made a huge impact. Although the Celtics lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers, he was out there banging, talking, getting physical, playing the kind of basketball that is adored by the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast crew. We got him, Jonas Jerebko. I'm not even sure if I'm saying his name right. I said it wrong right to his face many times. I'm still not sure if I've perfected saying Jonas Jerebko. I'm trying my best. My history and my ties to Sweden are long and deep. You might say, what are you talking about? My brother, Professor Eric Rappaport, he's the professor, has been married for 20 years. I think it's 20 years. Listen, I said we don't fact check. Okay? I believe he's been married for 20 years. It may even be longer. To a beautiful Swedish woman from Uppsala. Okay? Uppsala, Sweden. Look it up. Look it up. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing Uppsala, but look it up. Uppsala. Or maybe Uppsala. Look it up. Okay? My brother speaks Swedish. His daughter speaks Swedish. And his wife, of course, she's born in Sweden. She was raised in Sweden. She speaks Swedish. You know who else also speaks Swedish? Jonas Jerebko of the Utah Jazz. Okay? There's so many things going on in the world. So the other day, I'm perusing Twitter, as I do, because, you know, I'm terribly addicted to my phone. Terribly. Terribly addicted to my phone. It's embarrassing. And I see the front page on Twitter. The front page on Twitter had an article saying that lobsters, the animal, that's right, lobsters, the animal that you get from the sea with the shells and all that shit, that can't talk. I'm sure there's ways they communicate. And of course, some smart ass hipster fuck had to get to the bottom of it. And now it's a big deal. But lobsters feel pain when they are being boiled in water. Okay? This is a non-story to me. So in Switzerland, they are banning people from cooking lobsters by boiling them in water. Okay? This is not bullshit. Look it up. They are banning people from cooking lobsters by boiling them in water. They say it is inhumane. Okay? Now, I'm not a linguist. Okay? I'm not good with words, fancy words. I talk shit and I let the chips fall where the chips fall. Okay? But this is insane. Okay? Because how could something be inhumane to a fucking lobster? That doesn't make any sense right there. Okay? They're saying that the lobster feels pain when it is being boiled. I feel pain. I feel fucking pain 24 hours a day. If it's not emotional, it's mental. If it's not mental, I'm coughing up some sort of serum and phlegm. If it's not me coughing up some serum and phlegm, I'm suffering from a mild headache. If it's not a mild headache, I'm dealing with a colonoscopy. I'm dealing with an ulcerative colitis issue. I feel pain all the time. Nobody's going out of their way doing a big Twitter uproar to protect me, Michael Rappaport, but the fucking lobsters? Let me tell you something. If I buy a lobster in a restaurant, or I buy a lobster and I bring it home to cook, or my wife does, because I don't do the cooking. She doesn't even allow me in the kitchen. I moved into this new house. I don't even know how to toast a fucking bagel in my own house. I've been banned from the kitchen. That's not the point. If I buy a lobster in a restaurant, listen, the chef could cook it how he wants to cook it, okay? But if I bring a fucking lobster home from the store and I want to boil that little fucker, I'm boiling that motherfucker. Ain't no thing but a chicken wing. It ain't no thing but a chicken wing. Okay? What are you going to do, arrest me? That's what's going to happen next. They're going to start arresting people for boiling lobsters. What are you supposed to do? Wait till the fucking lobster dies of old age before you cook it? So you're essentially cooking and eating an old-ass lobster? They're saying it's more humane. Again, they're using the term humane for a fucking lobster. Look it up if you don't believe me. This isn't just me ranting and raving. They're saying the lobster feels less pain. We're talking about a lobster. What the fuck is going on in the world? The Swiss, the people of Switzerland, the great people, mind your fucking business like you do with everything else. They're saying it's more humane if you hammer the fucking lobster over the head or just cut its head off immediately. That doesn't sound pleasant. At least if you're in a pot of boiling water, you have a fighting chance of maybe jumping out of it. If you really got some balls, if you really got some spunk in you, the will to live, make it out of the pot. But they're saying it's less pain if you just beat the fucking lobster over the head with a hammer. So then I have to take cooking a lobster at home into a whole violent act. And what if you hit the lobster in the head and the little bastard doesn't die? Then what happens? Am I the bad guy? Listen, this is a non-issue for me. I'm eating my lobster how I want to eat my lobster. Okay? You guys want to waste time buying a hammer, worrying about the humanity of a lobster? Knock your fucking self out. Okay? This is an actual thing. Not for me. Not for me. I'm not getting caught up in that. So, that's a nice beat there. I like that. Oh, yeah. So the other night, a Martin Luther King birthday, holiday, a plethora of NBA games. And I know the players really feel honored to play in front of the crowds on Martin Luther King's birthday. And there were a bunch of great games. Golden State Warriors made easy work of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Listen, LeBron, he's this, he's that, he's better than Jordan, he's better than Kobe, he's not better than Jordan, he's not better than Kobe. He's LeBron, he's fantastic, he needs no introduction. He's getting no introduction on this here I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. You brought in your boy D. Wade, you got Kevin Love, you got Tristan Thompson, Chloe's baby daddy. You got Isaiah Thomas, he's just coming back from an injury. You got Ty Lue. He's got suits that are a little bit too big, but not as big as the ones he was wearing when he first started coaching the Cavaliers. You got everything you need. Cleveland Cavaliers are getting swept. And it ain't going to be a gentleman's sweep this year. They're getting swept in four games by the Golden State Warriors, barring any injuries. It's going to be easy work. Kevin Durant is going to go out of his way to annihilate every single thing that has to do with the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. He has a fucking chip on his shoulder, and he should. The Golden State Warriors have it figured out. Steph Curry is averaging like 30-something points a game since he came back from his ankle injury, and he's not even the focal point. Steph Curry is killing. Steph Curry's last name rhymes with Flurry. He is killing. And he's not even the focal point. Draymond Green is playing ridiculously. Klay Thompson's like under the radar. Hair looks fantastic. And Kevin Durant is, I don't know if he'll ever be considered a better all-around player than LeBron James. But right now, he is cracking his ass game after game. LeBron James cannot guard Kevin Durant. Now, obviously, nobody can completely stop LeBron James, but LeBron James cannot stop Kevin Durant. I was at the finals games last year. You saw me. I had a broom. I was the guy with the fucking broom at game 3 in Cleveland. That was me. My whole focus was Durant, LeBron. LeBron James cannot guard Kevin Durant. KD bust his ass in the post. He bust his ass facing the basket. He bust his ass by the three-point line. The Cleveland Cavaliers are done. You got your boy D-Wade in there. It doesn't matter. The party is over. I don't know if he's leaving Cleveland. I don't know if he's coming to the Lakers. I don't know what's going to happen, but I can tell you one thing. I guarantee right here on this I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast with Jonas Jerebko, sweep. Four-game sweep. Easy work. The other big news from the Martin Luther King Day games were the Houston Rockets came to Los Angeles for the first time since Chris Paul got traded, since Lou Williams got traded, Patrick Beverley got traded. They basically switched rosters. Okay? Patrick Beverley's out. He's injured for the rest of the season, Patrick Beverley. He's a pit bull. Obviously, Houston knows that better than anybody. He used to play for Houston. Trevor Ariza, Lou Williams. Anyway, Chris Paul, who I love. How could you not love Chris Paul? You know, he came in to Los Angeles last night with a chip on his shoulder. There was always murmurs of bad blood between Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. And the bad blood reared its ugly head on Martin Luther King's birthday. They were talking shit to each other. I think people said that it was reported that Chris Paul called Blake Griffin a bitch. Go fuck you, bitch. Pussy bitch. These things. They were going back and forth. Trevor Ariza was getting into it. Gerald Green from Houston Rockets. I don't know why Gerald Green is talking about anything. He should just be happy he's still in the fucking NBA. I want to get Gerald Green on the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast. Why a guy so talented has been traded year after year, sometimes multiple times in a year, is beyond me. I don't know what his story is. Anyway, the game was sort of chippy. Chippy for a 2018 skinny, genified NBA game. But after the game, Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza and some other guy tried to take a Scooby-Doo underground Hardy Boys mystery tour tunnel into the Clippers locker room to approach Austin Rivers and Blake Griffin. I don't know what the fuck they thought they were going to do. Like, yo, we're going to go into the locker room and we're going to go fuck up Blake Griffin, Austin Rivers, and whoever else gets in the way. That's what you're going to do? That's what you're going to do, Chris Paul? Trevor Ariza? Gerald Green? You ain't doing jack shit. None of you. You know, I like physical basketball. You all know how I feel about Charles Oakley. You know how I feel about Maurice Lucas. Okay? You know how I feel about mixing it up. Guy on this podcast, today's podcast, Jonas Jerebko. Who I may not be saying his name correctly. Fell in love with him last year. Played for the Celtics. They're playing the Cavaliers. Knocking people down to the ground. Talking shit about it. I like it. But when you start going into other people's locker rooms, it's like, what are you doing? The fuck are you doing? You guys all know each other. What are you going to actually do? You're going to go in there and fight in a locker room with media? Stop. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing yourself. Okay? This isn't an episode of Charlie's Angels, an episode of Scooby. I know how to get in there. We're going to get in there. They're going to get fined. People are going to get suspended. Even I, who likes to mix it up, I like my basketball physical and sometimes dirty. But even I can't support this kind of bullshit. Ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. I don't know. Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. By the time you are hearing this brand new, hard-hitting, smash-mouth episode of the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast, I most likely will be done with my 21st colonoscopy, okay? I went through all the preparation, okay? I did it all. I drank the sour stuff. I relieved my body and my intestines of everything. You do the math on that. I'm trying not to be graphic, okay? But the preparation stuff is there to help you clean out your system completely. Clean out your system completely. Can't eat, can't drink, can't nothing. Drink water, a couple of different things they let you drink. Maybe some fucking Jell-O. They're like, you could have Jell-O. I'm 47 years old. 47 years old. This isn't a kindergarten lunch break. Oh, you want some Jell-O? No, I'm no fucking Jell-O. I'm 47. What am I going to do with Jell-O? They tell you you could drink Jell-O. You could eat some Jell-O like it's a like they're doing me a favor. Like it's like I'm supposed to be excited about that. I'm fine. I just won't eat for the 24 hours. Offer me Jell-O. Fuck it. What do I look like? The colonoscopy is good. Okay? Colonoscopy should be fine. I will be giving you my reports and my results. And as I said on the last episode of the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast, I strongly encourage every man over 40. This is no read. This is no nothing. I strongly encourage every man over 40 to get your colitis because you want to know what's going on inside your body. You want to make sure you're healthy. God forbid something's going on inside of you and you don't take care of it and you ignore it. It can take over your body. And unfortunately, it could kill you. You don't want that to happen. All right? You don't want that to happen. All right, let's get to it. Miles, let me get some funk. Set this up. Man right now, from the Utah Jazz, grew up Sweden. Yeah, Sweden. Number 8. From the Utah Jazz, Jonas Jerebko, talking about what it was like playing basketball, being basketball obsessed in Sweden, playing in the professional leagues of Sweden. Again, I'm not going to lie. I know a lot of things about a lot of things. I didn't know they even had professional basketball in Sweden. Wound up playing in Italy. Finally wound up getting drafted into the NBA. Barely even had any access to watching games. Because at his age, there wasn't like DirecTV, Instagram wasn't on and popping. So when he grew up, he was like living in this basketball fantasy world in his head. I love this story. Let's get to it with my man from Sweden for the Utah Jazz, number 8, Jonas Jerebko. Let's go. Let's go. The NFL Conference Championships are here. And if you're going to put your money where your mouth is like me, then I want to tell you something, okay? You have to go to mybookie.ag, the number one rated online sportsbook, okay? With your fantasy football season over like mine, the only way to use your sports knowledge is to win cash by betting at mybookie.ag. MyBookie makes it easy to deposit or even easier to cash out on your winnings when you win, okay? Jacksonville or New England? Minnesota or Philadelphia, they have odds on everything, live betting, and an all-new prop builder. You can create your own bet slips, bet how you want. Now join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. 50%! Okay? Just use the promo code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T, when making your account. Visit MyBookie.ag today. That's mybookie.ag today. And bet on the internet's favorite sports book where when you play, you win and you get paid, no hassles. Go to mybookie.ag now. All right, I'm going to say your name probably 2 or 3 times during this show. And I'm probably going to say it right, maybe if we're lucky, one out of 3 times, if I'm lucky. Jonas Jerebko.
No, that's wrong.
Jonas Jerebko.
Jerebko.
Jerebko. How do you know it's not Jerebko? Like, are you sure it's not?
I mean, there's an American way of saying it.
What's the American way?
Jonas.
I got that.
Jerebko.
Jerebko is the American way.
Yeah.
So the announcers say Jerebko.
Yeah.
They don't say Jerebko.
No.
They've never said Jerebko.
No, growing up, I've heard any pronunciation of that last name you can think of. So
you're used to the mispronunciation.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Jonas Jerebko.
Jerebko.
Jerebko. Utah Jazz, Swedish. Now, I don't think I told you this. I have a sister-in-law. My brother's wife is from Uppsala.
Yeah, I got it. My wife's brother is from lives in Uppsala.
So we have a lot in common and nothing at all.
Yeah.
So Uppsala, so we're kind of related in a way.
I mean, in a way, yeah.
Because my brother's I actually never made it over to Sweden, but he lived there for 12 years. Like he speaks Swedish. My niece speaks. They live in Canada now. Yeah. They're European. They live in Canada. They speak a little Canadian, a little French Canadian, obviously English, Swedish, and all that stuff. So I'm a world traveler as well.
Well, it's a great city or country to visit. So I mean, if you go, you gotta let me know. We'll do dinner over there.
So when you're in Sweden, are you iconic over there? The thing that I wanted to ask you is, in America, we know the most of the proper channels or the familiar channels with getting to the NBA.
Yeah.
You're in Sweden. How do you get to the NBA?
Shit. I mean, basketball is not on the agenda in Sweden. I mean, I never watched a full Michael Jordan game. I never watched a full NBA game growing up.
Because you couldn't?
I couldn't.
They didn't have them on?
No, I mean, unless I bought the cassettes. I can't remember that website that you could buy it from, but you could never watch no NBA. I mean, it was all NHL, soccer, all kinds of weird sports that you never even heard of. So basketball was not on the agenda. Luckily, my dad is from Buffalo, New York.
Right.
Played for Syracuse.
He's born in Buffalo.
Born in Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
Played for Syracuse.
Yes. What year did he play for Syracuse?
77, 81.
Did he play with Pearl Washington? No, Pearl was after him.
Pearl was after him.
Pearl was just after him.
He played with Louis Orr.
Right. New York Knicks.
Roosevelt Bowie.
Yep.
He played with those guys.
That's cool. Yeah. Boeheim,
Boeheim's first year was my dad's first year.
That's cool.
So rookie year from both my dad and Boeheim.
That's cool. At the Carrier Dome.
Yeah, at the Carrier Dome.
That's awesome. I didn't know that Boeheim was there when he was there. Because Louis Orr was a Knick.
Yep.
Not our best Nick, but he's a Nick.
Yeah.
All right, so your father's from Buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay, played for Syracuse.
Then got a couple offers overseas to play. He chose Sweden. Met my mom, who was also playing basketball.
Oh.
And then he even gave up his American citizenships and stayed over there in Sweden. And then there was me.
Your mom is Swedish?
Mom is Swedish, yes.
Okay, and how tall is your mom?
6 foot.
Okay, and how tall is your father?
6'6".
Okay. All right, so they love basketball, obviously. You grew up in Sweden.
Yeah, I grew up in the gym, thanks to that. Mom was practicing. She was playing at the time when I was growing up. In Sweden. She was in the highest league for women. She played for the national team for a little bit.
Okay.
Dad obviously played too, so, I mean, I grew up watching them practice. I lived in the gym.
Got you.
But, like I said, basketball is not... It's not big in Sweden, so it's getting there, but I played soccer, handball, floorball, hockey, golf. I mean, you name it, I played it. But obviously the love for basketball kind of grew, and I just stopped all the other sports.
At the time, there's not a lot of basketball. And now with the internet, you could watch all the games, right?
Yeah. Now I can watch all the games, but growing up, literally there was no basketball on TV. I never watched any basketball growing up. No NBA. I mean, obviously, I came over to the States. Every other summer, I came over to the States. I used to go to basketball camps.
Okay.
I went to Buffalo basketball camp. I went to Syracuse.
Okay.
So I kind of...
Bernie Fine, was he up there?
He was up there.
He was up there. I went to Syracuse basketball camp. Dude, Bernie Fine made me run around the fucking Carrier Dome. I deserved it. And obviously, I wasn't as accomplished as you. They were probably looking at you, we want this guy to come here. They wanted me to get the fuck out of the camp.
Yeah, I was there for, I think it was 2 times I went to that camp. First year, they didn't really know who I was. Obviously, Dad played there, so they gave me a little extra attention. Second time, I was 16. I was a little bigger prospect, but they still didn't recruit me or anything.
Okay.
then I got a little bit older and I started rising in the rankings, and they called me and wanted me to go over there, but it's too late.
So you're not, so when you're 16 and you're obviously, you're doing well in Swedish, playing high school basketball?
Club teams. It's all club teams.
So what does that mean? Because we hear that over here a lot. He played for the club team. He was the star of this, Nikolina. Yeah. And we're just, I think, as fans, starting to give it some sort of credence. Yeah. Whereas before, you'd be like, I don't give a shit, club teams in France. And he's 17. Whoop-de-doo, and this one's like, Nikolina's 19. Like, I don't, what the fuck is he? Played
it for, I'll explain it. And so club teams are like, let's say the Boston Celtics are a club team. You start in Sweden. I started playing basketball. You were allowed to play, I think, fourth grade. So then you play with everybody that's your age.
Okay.
So you have an age group all the way up till 18 years old.
Okay.
And then it's the men's team.
Okay.
So you have all these teams from fourth grade up to 18 years old, and they're all aged based.
For like, but it'll be like the Celtics will be.
So they're all Celtics. They're
all young Celtics.
Yeah.
So the club teams like are the pro teams.
Yeah, and the older, like the 18, after 18, it's all only the men's team.
Okay.
And that's the pro, or that's the highest, you know, you can go. And then you have divisions. You have like Division 1, Division 2, Division 3, Division 4.
So in Sweden, there's like, what are the names of the teams that are like the pot? What's the Celtics and Lakers over there?
I mean, you know, you have Stockholm.
Okay.
Got a couple teams. I played for a team up north in Luleå. I signed a one-year deal. That was my first professional deal.
And you're how old?
Then I was 18.
And I
just finished high school.
You just finished high school. But it's a whole other sort of like dynamic of like basketball, AAU, college. It's a whole other thing.
Yeah. No AAU, no nothing like that. I think I was 16 when I mean, I was playing with the guys who were 2 years older. I was playing with the guys, the under 18 team when I was like 15. And then I kind of worked my way up to the men's team, but they were in the second division in Sweden.
Which means what? They're not as good as the first division?
No. The first division were professionals.
Okay.
I mean, you don't make a lot of money, but you can make a living playing in the Swedish league. They got a couple Americans per team.
Right.
So the second division are amateurs, but it's a good level. I mean,
right.
It's a good level for me when I was 15, 16.
Because you're playing with men.
I'm playing with 40-year-olds, 35-year-olds, you know, 30-year-olds.
Did they smell like cigarettes and shit?
Some of them did. You know, you had some old guys that have been around and played in some pretty good leagues that are out in Europe that are now, you know, chilling and just playing in the second division.
I got you. So it's a whole professional basketball in Sweden. Is it like this in all of Europe and all of Spain, like in Italy? Like you hear these different leagues, like Rubio's on your teammate now. Like there's all this, it's like a whole other world.
Yeah, but Sweden cannot be compared to like Spain or Turkey or Russia or Italy. Those leagues got money.
Right.
They're, you know, obviously the money attracts the better players. So you're going to have a lot better players. And like even I'd say the second division in Italy is better than the first division in Sweden because
they got
more money. Like the Americans in the second division in Italy are making more money than the Americans in Sweden.
I got you.
So, but the Swedish league is getting better. It only has like 8 teams right now because the economy, like nobody, like I said, basketball is not very popular, unfortunately, you know, no sponsor money. So it's hard to attract good players when you don't have no money.
So at the highest level in Sweden, like how many people come to the games?
Unfortunately, not enough.
Like hundreds, thousands, 500?
In some cases, we're talking hundreds.
Right.
In some cases, you know, you might top out at 2,000 people.
And does that bother you? Like, do you want to try to build it up more?
Yes. I mean, I've tried my whole career. Like, I was more worried about it when I was a rookie. I really try to get in the news and like, build basketball. I play for the national team every year. But, like I said, basketball is not... Like, people don't watch it. People don't read about it. They don't write about it in the newspaper. Still nothing.
Like, so LeBron James and, like, Kobe and, like, Iverson, they're not, like, a big deal in Sweden.
Nah, I mean, I feel like LeBron could walk the streets of Stockholm and...
Are you serious?
And not be super bothered. I mean, it's like that.
Wow.
Maybe not anymore, like, if you pick a guy like LeBron, but, like...
Like a
I could bring my whole team and we could walk around and we wouldn't be super bothered.
That's crazy.
It is pretty crazy.
And so why did you not... So you at a certain point, you started to become the best of your age. Or you're a standout. You have a father who played at Syracuse. Why did you not say, I want to go to Kentucky. I want to go to UCLA. I want to go to St. John's, wherever. Like, how did you make the decision to not do that?
I mean, I was pretty comfortable when I was 15, 16, going to my school. School was 5 minutes away. I went and played for in the second division. I was the point guard at the time. I got the ball all the time. I got to shoot as many shots as I wanted. I had good coaches, good teammates. We were winning. So I wasn't really worried about that. I was, mom and dad was like, finish high school, then you can do whatever you want. Like, if you want to go to college, go to college. You want to try to get a pro contract, get a pro contract. So I wasn't really into school, to be honest.
They told me just
pass all the grades, don't get no F's.
Were you a bad kid?
No, I wasn't a bad
kid.
Were
you a pain in the ass? Because you got a little attitude. Not in a bad way, but I could see, like, if you're a good basketball player. Like,
I love just being in a gym. So
you love basketball.
I love basketball. I love sports. Like, as soon as school was over at 3, I was in the gym. I mean, I took my bike. I might have grabbed something to eat, but I was in the gym.
And was there people there, or were you working out mostly by yourself?
Nah, there was, like, the gyms in Sweden are not like here where you can just go to a gym and have a gym. Like, it's set times. Like, you can... So I was in the gym maybe at 4, maybe practice was at 6, so you had maybe the women's team practice from 4 to 5, and then another team from 5 to 6. So I'll just jump in and practice with the women, I'll practice with the guys who were 2 years older, I'll practice with the guys who was younger.
Like, right.
I didn't care, I was in the gym and waiting for my practice, and then obviously stay late. But then to my older days, when I started playing with that second division, that was in a bigger town, so I had to jump on a bus or a train to get, you know, a half an hour, 45 minutes away.
And then, okay, so then you graduate high school, then what happens?
Graduate high school, I had thoughts of playing college ball. That was kind of...
Are they reaching out to you? Are they aware of...
That's when they
Jonas
start...
Jerebko. And I'm not doing that on purpose.
No, it's all right.
Jerebko. I'm going to write it down.
Yeah.
Spell it out. So, okay, Jer...
J?
The spelling's not going to work. I have to spell it my way.
Okay.
Hold on.
Jerebko.
All right, so I'm just changing the spelling of your name, but at least I'll pronounce it right.
Yeah, right. When I was like 15, like, I didn't even get like picked out for the like regional team in Sweden, and that made me pretty upset. Like, I was like, I'm better than everybody in this gym. I had to go to the big city, which was Gothenburg, the second biggest city in Sweden. I didn't even get picked out for the regional team. I had a guy on my squad that hadn't played basketball for a year, but he was like 6'7". I was a scrawny kid. I was short, I was skinny, but I still had skills.
Right.
But I didn't even get picked out. So that kind of made me upset. I think that kind of brought a little fire under me. Like,
okay,
fuck you guys. Like,
I got it.
I still, to this day, when I see the guy who didn't pick me out, I'm like, that motherfucker. Like, it's like that.
I like that.
And like...
He's like your Michael Jordan, like when Jordan got cut. And then later on, when he got the Hall of Fame speech, he brought the coach that cut him and shamed him at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the guy's last name, but he's got the same.
You know his face.
I know his face, and I know he's got the first. His name is Jonas also.
Ah.
And he didn't.
We call him Jonas Fucko.
Jonas Fucko is his name. Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that just brought a fire into me because, I mean, after that... 16, 17 years old, I started being picked out for the Swedish national team a year or two later.
And are you the best player on that team in hindsight?
No.
Come on. None of these guys are with the Utah Jazz.
No, they're not.
But at that time, you're not the best player on that team.
I'm not the best player on the team. I was like a kid from a small town. They were all from Stockholm.
Like small town like what? Like Salt Lake City or smaller than that?
Small. 10,000 people maybe.
Okay.
Like, you know, I'm from it's called Kinna.
K-I-N-N-A. Never heard of it.
No, you never heard of it.
K-I-N-N-A.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my hometown. I mean, we've had some good ball players from there, like the couple guys that played in Europe that made a name for themselves in European basketball. So I came to the big city, you know, Stockholm kids, Gothenburg, you know, they're all bigger than me because I grew my last year of high school. That's when I started growing, but I was...
From what to what? Like, from how, like, were you one of these? Because I think this whole Anthony Davis thing is bullshit.
Yeah.
You know how they go, oh, well, he was 6'1", and then I go, and everyone I've asked, I asked Andre Drummond, I asked Bradley Beal, I asked another person, I was like, did you ever see Anthony Davis at 6'1"? No one saw it. So I think that's a fucking myth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he grew 9 inches over the summer. I go, I don't think that's for the National Geographic channel or Science Channel.
I would have to call my mom and ask. She, you know, kept notes and shit on the door, you know, when I was growing. But I grew a lot. Like, I remember I went to a visit at University of Buffalo.
Okay.
I had my family from Buffalo, obviously. Okay. So I was like, oh, man, I'll do a visit to them so I can see my family at the same time. I think I was like 6'5", 171 or something.
Okay.
And I mean, that was when I was 18.
Right.
So
you, at this point, you're not thinking like I could play pro basketball, like NBA basketball?
Well, that's when I started realizing I'm pretty good. Like, I'm getting offers from colleges. I got some letters. I got a letter from Florida, Boston College, obviously Syracuse, where my dad played.
Right.
That's when they started. When I was 15, 16, they didn't.
Sorry,
I didn't
suckers.
Hear nothing.
It's too bad.
Yeah, and then I was 17, and I'm starting to get a name for myself playing for the national team. Their scouts came out, and, you know, now they want me to play for them. But I was like, I just waved them off, and I was like, nah, I ain't going to do it. I actually committed to Buffalo.
To the University of Buffalo.
I committed to Buffalo after my visit. I committed.
Things would have been different if you went to University.
Coach was Reggie Witherspoon. I remember I committed to him on the phone. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then that night, I was just like, school, basketball. And then I got a call from a couple Swedish teams that said, you know, we want you to stay here. We can get you a couple grand, get you a car, get you an apartment, feed you. All you have to do is play basketball.
And you're like, I'm down.
I slept on it. I woke up the next morning. I called Coach Reggie Witherspoon back, and I was like, sorry.
And what did he say?
Oh, they were devastated, obviously. You know, but there's nothing they could do. I mean, I made my mind up real quick.
Right.
Like I said, school was not a priority for me. I felt like after high school, I was finished. Like,
I got you. Yeah, I understand.
I was finished with school.
Trust me, I get it.
And then
I'm not sure I graduated high school. Okay, that's a fact.
I did it.
Did you?
I barely did it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I actually did.
I got through it, but like I said, I had all basketball in my mind anyway. So.
Okay.
Got a couple offers in Europe. Like, I got some big teams in Europe calling me. So me and my dad was just, let's jump on a plane and see what they got.
And you're at 18 now?
I'm at 17, 18.
And then, so then what happens?
After high school. It was my last year of high school in Real Madrid. Obviously, everybody knows Real Madrid, one of the biggest clubs in Europe, called me. Some Spanish agent got my dad's number and reached out. And they flew me down there, and I practiced with I think it was a junior team, like their under 18 team. I did pretty good. I had a good time with my dad down in Madrid. Flew us first class. You know, me and my dad was like, this is cool. They gave us a bag full of gear.
Okay.
We were almost sold after that. but then we got home. They sent us a six-year contract. So I'm 18 at the time. That would have given me. I would have been 24 when I would have been out of my contract.
Right.
But we were still thinking about it. But it just didn't make sense, like, to sign a long contract like that, and to move to Spain.
Right, right, right.
From being, you know, from a small town like I'm from, to move straight to Madrid, and just lock me in for 6 years. So my dad kind of talked to my mom and my dad, and they're like, nah, I don't think you should do it. So I decided to stay back home in Sweden and check out the teams that are in the Swedish league.
Okay.
And I got an offer from every team in Sweden, obviously. But I picked the best team.
Okay.
They won the Swedish championship, I think, 6 out of the last 7 years or something like crazy.
Before
like
you
that.
Had gotten there.
Before I had gotten there.
And then what happens?
Shit, I'm from down south, like Gothenburg, down south of Sweden. This team is up north. It's cold up there. Like, you know, I've never even been up there before. But it's the best team in Sweden. They had the best players. I knew all the players on their team. just from experience, watching them on TV,
right.
or you know, reading about them.
And who's like the best player that you could remember at that time? Like that was the best player in that league.
His name was Fred Drains. He's an American.
He's American?
Americanized. He's Swedish now. I'd call him Swedish now. He moved from the States to play in Sweden, and then he stayed there just like my dad.
And what's the level, what's the difference level of competition at the highest level of Swedish compared to the NBA?
You can't compare it to the NBA.
Can you compare it to like the D League?
I compare it to college basketball. I don't know, mid-level college, maybe a little bit higher. I think we would, when I was there, I think we would beat most of the college teams.
Right.
I think we would beat.
You had a good team.
We had a good team.
And so you start playing and you start doing your thing.
Yeah, I mean, I got up there, like, you know, nobody really knew who I was, but I got up there right away, felt at home, like, I could be in, they kept the gym open for me whenever I wanted, all I did was basketball. I mean, it was dark up there, it's in the winter too, you know, so it's like 24/7 of darkness almost.
That's real?
That's real.
24/7 of dark, like night?
Oh yeah, like.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
I'd go fucking crazy.
I'll wake up in the morning and 9 o'clock going to get some shots up, and it's you wake up to darkness and
as if you're nighttime.
Yes.
The whole year?
Yes. No, not the whole year.
Half
it's
year?
Not too long. No, not long. It's a few maybe months? A month or
shit. That
but
sounds.
Then
like,
I mean, you might get 4 hours of daylight after you know for a while.
That's not a fun place to live.
No, but summer it's all daylight, 24/7.
That's weird too.
It's very weird. Like I couldn't even sleep. I had to have like black out the curtains and shit.
Right.
But I had a great time up there. I mean, we won a lot of games. I got to play like I think I played like 20, 25 minutes a game.
Right.
And as a rookie, I mean, that's pretty unheard of.
Right.
So, I was in a good situation. I had all veterans around me. Everybody was like 30 to 35 and they played in the Swedish league for a while, so they were kind of showing me the ropes.
That's cool.
We won the championship that year.
How much did you average?
I think I averaged like 10-6.
Okay.
So I mean,
but that's not like incredible. How do you get from that to the NBA?
I mean, yeah. After that, I got a couple calls from some, obviously Spain, Germany.
After the first year.
Yeah.
And they're like, watching you, or they're sending scout footage. Like, how do they even like know who the hell you are?
Who knows? Who knows? I mean. They're watching Swedish basketball.
Okay. They're checking it out.
Scouts in Europe watch everything now because of guys like me and Porzingis and Dirk and Powell. Like, they don't want to miss a beat.
Okay.
Like, they're watching games in Denmark and Iceland, too.
And their coaches are talking. They're like, I got this kid here. And they want to further you, right?
Yes. Coaches talk. You know, obviously, in the finals, I remember I had a pretty good game. I had a big fourth quarter in the finals. It was just after that, I decided to sign with an agent. And that's, you know, my agent at the time was like, I don't want to get you to a big team. Like, all the big teams, like, kind of wanted me. But, you know, you're a 19-year-old Swedish kid. You're not going to come in and play fucking 20 minutes a game. So he was like, let's go to a smaller team and then showcase what you can do. And then, you know, we'll take the step to the league. And I'm like, oh, this guy telling me I can get to the league. Like, I can do it. So that kind of gave me a little extra, too, to just believe in myself. Because, like, a guy here, an agent, you know, I'm like I said, I'm still a small kid from Sweden.
Are you even thinking you could play in the NBA at this point? Or you have nothing to compare to? Or is it just a dream?
That's when
I... Like, where's your head at with playing professional basketball? Like, NBA basketball?
I've always, like... And then when I was in, I remember when I was in Sweden, I was playing, and it was a preseason, and we were playing, there was some Ukrainian team we were playing. Can't even remember the name. They had a couple guys that were former NBA players. And in the preseason, yeah, like I said, I was 19, and I'm looking at the guys when we're playing against, I'm like, I'm fucking better than these guys. Like, they played in the NBA? Like, if they can do it, I can do it. So that's kind of what got me started and triggered, I think.
Because it's almost kind of good because you didn't watch it all the time. Your sort of take on it is different than somebody who watches it consistently and probably the way you could even watch it in Sweden today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can watch it now with the internet. But, Like I said, I didn't watch no NBA, so I'm coming into the game playing against these guys, and they're like, oh yeah, they're former NBA players, and I'm looking at them like, he's not even that good. Like, I'm better than him. So that's what kind of got me like, okay, I'm gonna do this.
That's cool.
So like I said, my agent at the time said, let's go to a smaller team. And my funny story, my teammate at the time right now, Utah Jazz, Thabo Sefolosha.
Uh-huh.
He just left Angelico Biella, a small team in Italy.
Okay.
Played in the first division in Italy.
Yes.
And he just left to go to the Bulls.
He
got drafted by the Bulls.
I got you.
And Biella is looking for a guy to replace him.
I got you.
They're like, man, we want you. Like, you're going to play for us. We want you to do what Thabo did. So I kind of got sold on that. I'm like, man, Thabo did it that way. I can do that too.
I got you.
So I ended up signing there. Signed, you know, shit, I think I signed for like 5,000 euros a month.
Which is what? What is that?
$6,000 a month.
Okay.
And I'm like, damn, I'm living a life.
Right. You're now. This is.
I mean, I touched down in Italy not knowing what I'm getting myself into.
And what part of Italy?
Northern part.
So now you've become a professional.
Now I'm 19.
In Italy.
Yeah.
Young guy. You're a professional basketball player at a high level in Italy. And it, obviously, Italy is known for their soccer, but they have their what are their professional games like?
Oh, it was like night and day compared to what I was used to in Sweden. I mean, I remember landing in Italy not knowing what I was getting myself into. It was like a Thursday night. I land in Milan, and I have a guy standing with a sign saying my name on there.
Gerbeco.
Gerebko.
Fuck! I'm reading off the...
And he's like, just points at, you know, I point at him, and he points at me, and he doesn't speak a word of English.
And you don't speak a word of Italian?
Not a word of Italian. He drives me like an hour and a half through the mountains into this little town in Italy. He gives me an envelope. I look in it, and it's like, it's $5,000 in euros. I'm like, whoa. He's like, take it. I'm like, okay. And then he gives me keys, and there's a car, keys to an apartment, and a phone. So, and that's it. And he just drops me off, not a word. So I go into the apartment, and the phone rings, and it's the team manager for the team. So he's like the only guy who speaks English there. So he's like, yeah, Jonas, welcome to Biella. You know, we got practice on Monday, and it's Thursday night. You got some money. You got a car. Make yourself at home. I'll see you in the gym on Monday.
And you don't know where you are.
I have no fucking idea.
That's like a movie.
Yeah. So, you know, I started walking like in blocks around, you know, around my apartment.
Are you afraid like you're going to get lost or kidnapped? Like, you don't know where the hell
I wasn't really worried about that. It just kind of seemed like a nice little town, but obviously I was a little worried. I mean, I didn't go out right at night.
And you didn't have like, oh, call up Tim, he's here.
No.
Jeff's here. And
it was all Gabriella, the team manager. He's like, you got my number. Call me if there's anything.
And are you like just going into cafes and eating?
Yeah.
Like, and is the food ridiculous?
It was pretty ridiculous. I mean, pizza, pasta every day. So I just started walking around my apartment, just walking out a little bit, out, you know, checking the spots. Found myself a couple restaurants, and then just grinded it out till Monday, watching Italian TV, all dubbed in Italian.
Right.
But yeah, it was a great time in that that little town.
And then, how do we get to the NBA from there?
Yeah, I mean, Italian basketball is good, and at the time, I mean, they've had some economical problems now too. I don't think the money's the same as what it used to be, so they can't attract the same kind of players.
Right.
But the fans are there. I mean, they love basketball.
And is it like a soccer atmosphere?
Yeah, it was.
They're loud. It's like party. It's like college-ish, right?
Yeah. You know, a funny story is that Monday we had practice. That Wednesday we had a game. And guess who we played?
Who?
Stanford with the Lopez twins.
That's crazy.
In a small little gym in like the outskirts in Italy.
Like a scrimmage game.
Scrimmage game. Like we have never played before. We had, you know, four Americans. Former NBA players, Troy Bell from Boston College, uh-huh. B.J. Elder, Brandon Hunter, and Kevin Pinkney.
Okay.
So we had three guys with NBA experience. And, you know, we played against the Lopez twins, and they had Landry Fields.
Right.
Yeah. And we crushed them.
Did you really?
Crushed them.
And you guys
and we never practiced before. I mean,
you just had more talent than that team.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like.
But when you see
I was a kid with them, but
and when you see these giant Lopez squids, yeah. These 2 7-foot monsters.
Yeah, but it was it was college. It was early, and they were on a trip.
Right.
But we still, I remember we just crushed them.
That's funny. Do they remember that now? Because they're.
I don't know if they remember it. I don't know if I always see Robin and Brooke, but I never ask them about it.
You should say next time you like drain a three and you're on the way back, you should be like, you remember that game? You
remember that game?
That'd be a good thing, like or at the free throw line. Yeah,
you remember that game 12 years ago?
I mean, I'm sure they remember it because we were in Italy.
They
That's
should.
Funny.
Yeah. But the fan, like you said, it's a soccer atmosphere. Fans dance all game.
Singing songs.
Singing. I mean, it was a small town, too. So every time we won, I mean, the whole city was behind us.
Like, that's cool.
Free food. You know, any time we go to a restaurant after we win, we'll get free food, whatever we want. I mean,
now, you're a married man. Now.
No, I am a married man.
So you're in Italy. Now, Swedish is notorious for beautiful women.
Yes.
So that's what you hear. Apparently, that's what you hear. Now, would you can say Sweden, Italian women, like you're 19, are you like, holy shit? Or are you just like, I need to go in and make 100 free throws?
I mean, like I said, NBA was after I played in Sweden that first
But you
year.
Went again just in a visual sense. Like, is it the more beautiful women in Sweden?
Sweden.
There is the reality of the Swedish woman, that's a real thing.
Yes, it's a
blonde,
real
blonde, blue eyes. That's the generic. Or is that real?
I mean, it's
blonde, tall, like everybody's 6'9".
Yeah, but Sweden's got everything.
Right.
Yeah, we got all kinds of different looking girls.
Okay.
I mean, Swedish, yeah, it's by far the best.
So Swedish women, you would say, most beautiful in the world?
Yes.
Okay.
No
okay.
question.
Okay, no problem?
No question.
And then, okay, so then still, I want to know, how do we go from this to the NBA?
I mean, I grinded in Italy. I mean, we played one game a week, Sundays. And we practiced two times, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, one practice Saturday, and then you have the game Sunday.
Two-a-days.
Two-a-days, hard, like 9 to 12, 6 to 9. Like the Americans, obviously, coming from college, they're used to that shit, but they're like, fuck this, I don't want to do this, but... Had to do it for
and there's
me.
There's no games too,
there's
right?
There's no games. I mean, one time a week, and
you're playing against the same guys.
Yeah, and if we win Sunday, we'll get day off Monday. But if we lose, get to fucking practice Monday. All over again.
Uh huh.
And I remember my first year, we had a stretch of 11 games lost in a row. So that's 2.5 months of losing.
So you're playing basketball. Non-stop.
Non-stop.
Are you enjoying it, or is it like, this is, I love basketball, but this is a little bit much?
I enjoyed it, man. I loved it. Like, I was in the gyms in the morning, like I said, 9 to 12. I had my routine. I'll go to the same restaurant, have lunch with my teammates, go to sleep, get back to the gym, grind it out. I mean,
This could be a movie.
This could be like
a movie. It could be like Lost in Translation, like Swedish basketball.
Yeah.
All right, so then go ahead. So I want to know, how do we get to the NBA?
Yeah, after my first year, I was like, okay, I'm ready. I want to get to the league.
And what year is this?
I'm 20.
So this 10 is years ago.
Yeah, 10. Yeah.
So it's 2007.
10. Yeah.
2006.
Eight, nine.
And at this point, are you able to watch more NBA basketball?
Yeah, I started to a little bit because of my American teammates.
Okay.
A lot of them were watching it. We were getting some on Italian TV. We're showing on Sky. So I started watching it more and more. I remember my GM at the time, Dennis Lindsay.
Uh-huh.
I was playing against Gallinari at the time. So we had a lot of NBA scouts coming to our games.
Got you.
Pop came to a game.
Okay. Did you know who he was?
Of course.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
At that time, you know, you knew.
All right, you're up.
Oh, shit, there's NBA scouts. Go.
Okay.
I'm playing Gallinari today. There's going to be NBA scouts for him. I'm taking this show.
And he was, okay, so he was like the hot shit over there.
Yeah, I mean, he was, what pick was Gallo?
Yeah, I don't remember what pick, he was Gallinari.
He was the top pick. So, you know, they had scouts and coming for all his games. So I knew when we were playing Milan that there were going to be scouts there. So. I kind of tried to do my thing, and after my first year, I had a decent year. Maybe I averaged 9 and 6. I don't know, but Italian league—that's, I mean—that's pretty good for, for a 20-year-old kid. So I was like, told my agent, I want to do this. I want to get to the league. San Antonio said they would pick me, but they wanted to send me back to Europe for a year. I didn't want to do that. So my agent was like, let's hold off, play one more year in Italy, then we're going. So, I mean, I trusted him, you know, going there, and I just said, okay, whatever you think is gonna get me to the league. So I ended up going back to Biella for another season. And then that season we had a great year. Like, we went to the Italian playoffs. We ended up beating the number 2 ranked team.
Okay.
Which was Rome, which was Brandon Jennings' team.
Oh, shit.
At the time.
So he was over there for his little stint.
He was over there, yeah, for his stint.
When he's a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, he's out of college.
Yeah.
I mean, he skipped college.
He skipped college.
Out of high
school. Straight to Rome.
Right.
And, I mean, they had a guy making more money than our whole team together. We were a small-town team. Nobody thought we were going to beat these guys, and we took it to Game 5 and we beat their ass in Rome. And
what is it like when you're a professional basketball, you're 20? I mean, I've been to Rome, but like, what is your experience in Rome? Are you having a fucking ball? Like, are you like, I'm playing professional basketball, I'm 20, I'm in Rome? We're like, what do you remember about that? Like, being
I remember
Rome?
The long ass bus rides we had to get there. I mean, it was like a 12-hour bus ride.
Oh, they don't fly you?
I mean, we flew a couple, but like...
You had to fly from your city, from game, in between games?
Yeah, we took the bus.
And
it's a 10-12-hour bus ride.
And the Rome team, Brandon Jennings is not taking the bus.
No, they're not taking the bus.
Oh, so you guys are like, we want to beat these fucking fancy Rome assholes.
Yeah. I mean, and the funny thing is, like, we go to Rome, Game 1, we lose by 20. We go home, we win by 1. We go to Rome, we lose by fucking 25. We go home, we win in overtime on a last crazy shot, and then we go to fucking Rome and we beat them by like 5.
And all the time you guys are on a bus.
We're on a bus.
So is your head like these fucking Rome assholes?
Oh, man, that was probably like one of the biggest wins I've had in my career. Like, I went, our whole team went nuts.
That's awesome.
I don't know if you remember Bodie Roga.
Yeah.
He's like a European legend. He was a GM for Rome at the time.
Yeah.
He was trying to get into a locker room and fight some of our guys.
That's
he thought we were disrespectful after the game, but like, it was like, there was so many emotions after that game. Like, I mean, it was crazy.
That's cool.
It was crazy.
That's, I think that's the second act of our movie. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Like, you beat the Italians.
We roll up in our bus back to our town,
right,
and people are dancing, you know, in the streets and shit. Like, it was that kind of crazy.
I got you.
So then we ended up playing Milan in the playoffs, took them to Game 5, lost on the last shot. We should have went to the finals there. I went straight from there. Then that's when I'm getting ready for NBA after that, the NBA draft.
So you go straight from there where?
Straight from...
To the combine?
The European combine. It's called the Eurocamp.
But it's sanctioned by the NBA.
It's sanctioned by... Good question. I mean, every NBA scout you can think of is there.
Okay.
GMs, whatever it is, they're all there. And it started like 3 days before I could even get there because of the Italian playoffs. So all I could do was I took a flight right after we lost to Treviso where the camp was. And the guys was like, yeah, you got to be tired after the playoffs. You know, if you don't want to do anything, you just want to do the measurements and shit like that. I was like, fuck that. I want to play a game. So I ended up playing one game and I was like, I had like 16 points in like 15 minutes. I didn't miss a shot. So it was like the best showcase I could have. And then I was like, okay, I shut it down now. And then I flew right from there. I flew to the States. I had like, shit, I think I had 7 workouts in 9 days.
For NBA teams.
NBA teams.
Okay, so what stuck out about those workouts? Like, who was there? Like, are you seeing, like, pros and,
That was...
Popovich or Phil Jackson, whoever. Like, who are you working out in front of?
Yeah, I went to Spurs. I worked out for them. I worked out for Detroit, Minnesota, Cleveland. There were so many workouts. Charlotte. There were so many workouts that I can't even, like, remember. I was so, like, I went straight from Italy playoffs to Treviso, straight there. And then it was the NBA. And then the NBA draft was coming up. And I had, like, a workout the day before the draft. So I just flew my whole family in from Sweden to New York. I mean, I knew I wasn't going to be I thought I should have been first rounder, but it's what it is, right?
Did they tell you, like, do you have a sense of, like, so what year is this draft?
09, 10.
So who went first in your draft?
It was Blake.
Okay.
Right?
You're asking. I pride myself. Listen, it's okay. Yeah. The Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, we don't fact check.
Hashim Tabit was two.
Okay.
Brandon, Johnny Flynn, Steph Curry. I mean, I had a good draft.
Okay.
James Harden.
Now, are you familiar with any of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, we were in the same draft.
No. I'm saying at the time.
Oh, at the time?
Like, you're not like, oh, this
no,
isn't.
No.
Because you're in Europe.
No, I was not at all.
So you're not like, oh, that's Blake Griffin, that's Steph Curry, that's Del Curry. Like, these are just other guys. Because you're sort of out of the loop.
Yeah, I'm out of
the loop. That is an interesting thing.
Yeah. I remember I had a workout in Phoenix, and it was with Brandon Jennings. It was James Johnson, Earl Clark, couple other guys, and they were all, Austin Day, and they were all going to go top 15. And, I didn't know who the guys were. I just played my game. I thought I had a great workout. I didn't think that any of those guys had a better workout than me. But obviously all of those guys ended up going, top 15.
Right.
And at draft night, like I said, I flew my whole family in from Sweden. Family drove out from Buffalo. We were all sitting in the stands.
The Buffalo Beaky.
they grinded the drive out.
Yeah, of course.
And
maybe they fucking walked. You don't know if they didn't. Maybe they didn't. Buffalo people are tough, man.
Yeah, they're tough. They're tough. We sat in the stands with my agent, and we knew there was teams interested. We knew I was going to get picked, but we didn't know if it was going to be late first, it was going to be early second, late second. Who knows? So we're sitting there waiting, it goes to like, we thought Minnesota might pick me at 28, and then I can't remember who they picked, but they picked somebody. So after 28, my agent started, getting on his phone, and he tells me, he's like, Charlotte got a guaranteed two-year contract for you at 40. They were like, they want you, you got a guaranteed contract, hopefully you drop to 40. So I was like, don't pick me, I'm sitting there, every pick. And then
because you want Charlotte to get you.
Yeah, because I got a guaranteed contract. Like, if you're second round, you're not guaranteed anything.
I got you.
But they guaranteed.
They were familiar with you.
Yeah.
Got you.
And I didn't even work out for them.
Okay, but they passed the tapes around,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. And then at 37, I think, my agent gets a call, and he's like, Detroit's going to pick you at 39. I'm like, fuck. Right before, I had a guaranteed contract. And at 39, obviously, Detroit picked me. And it was great. Ended up great, but at the time I was so fucking pissed. I don't know if you've seen the video when I go up there and shake his hand. All I was thinking was like,
and this is still David Stern, right?
No, because second round was Silver.
Ah.
He took second round there. So it was me and Silver went up there, and I just remember, I'm like, fuck, man, one more pick and I should have had a guaranteed contract. But I just had to get back to the grind and work hard in training camp and earn myself a guaranteed contract.
And who's the coach at the time?
John Kuster.
Okay, and who's on the Detroit?
Ben Wallace, Tayshaun Prince, Rip Hamilton, Chucky Atkins, Chris Wilcox. We had a lot of veteran guys. And Austin Day was number 15 pick. I think DeJuan Summers was second round with me. They had a veteran team.
Okay.
Rodney Stuckey, just a few. And then Ben Gordon, Charlie Villanueva signed at the same time. So we all got in to Detroit at the same time. And I just, I knew I didn't have anything, guaranteed for me. I had to work myself into getting a guaranteed contract.
Right.
And I just came in there. I mean, I knew since Detroit had just won the championship with Ben and Rip and Tayshaun, and they were like, you know, they were, I looked up to those guys. I played them in the video games. But I've always had the mindset, like, I don't care who I'm playing against. Like, I'm just going to play my game. I'm going to grind. I'm going to hustle. I'm going to rebound. I'm going to play defense. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And that's what I did. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the first preseason game I played for Detroit. I got thrown out of the game.
No, you didn't?
Yeah.
What happened?
I didn't. That was the first preseason game. We played the Miami Heat in Detroit. And in the fourth quarter, I got to come in. And Jamal McGlure, he's a dirty player. He plays hard. I respect him. But, you know, he thought he could just mess with the rookie, I guess, and just kind of held me on a rebound and kind of brought me down to the floor. And I remember just, like, fucking just punching him right over the head. And we both got thrown out. So it was... I got suspended for my first regular season NBA.
That's all. But are your teammates like, that must, like, they must be like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Detroit crowd was going nuts. I mean, I remember, you know, our security guards, like, yeah, you got thrown out, let's go. And, you know, the fans were standing up.
That's cool.
Going nuts. So I was like, shit, hopefully this doesn't hurt me.
Right. This is, you're in Detroit. They like that.
Yeah.
And then, so what is your first memory of, like, NBA moment? Like, oh, shit, I'm on the court with whoever.
Yeah. Yeah, since I was suspended my first game, so I was we went to Memphis for the first regular season game, and I couldn't even be in the gym. So I was at the hotel. I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to go to TGI Fridays next door and watch the game on TV. So I was sitting in the bar at TGI Fridays watching the first game and then just took a cab to the plane and meet him after the game. I think there was like two games. I got DNPs, and then we went to Milwaukee. And that's when I got my first minutes, and that's when I was like, damn, I made it. You know, I played. I don't even know how much I played or anything, but I just remember that was my first real minutes.
But when your coach goes, all right, Jonas.
Oh, I was nervous.
That's real, right? Like, I think I'm going to have a dream that you're, like, I have basketball. Like, are you like, oh, shit?
Yeah, I wish I could remember, like, all those feelings I had, but I was just fucking nervous. I was nervous as hell. I was like, oh, shit, he just called my name. You run up there, you take off your sweats. You make I always make sure I got the jersey. I got my shorts on. Okay, I'm good. I'm ready to go. But it was, like, a surreal feeling, you know, coming from where I'm from, like, all the way to the NBA. It's, you know, it's an accomplishment, but, like, I could never have imagined it growing up.
That's cool.
So it was pretty crazy.
And then and when you're on the court, like, who's the first person, like, when you're playing against, like, you know, that was the game in Milwaukee.
Kobe. When I first played Kobe was like.
Tell me that.
It was just like, you know, you always looked up to a guy like that who just determination and winning and. Just Kobe Bryant. I mean, everybody knows who Kobe Bryant is.
Is he looking at you like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, I think he was because I remember, you can probably see footage. I think they got some footage of that. Like, the first game we played him, I think he was guarding me. I was playing at three at the time, and I got the ball at the three, and he's all the way in the 3 second area, like, just looking at me, like, just standing there. And I just shot it, and I made it. So he started playing defense. And that's when I was like, okay. He's like, okay, maybe this kid can play. Maybe I got to play some defense. Like, he totally disrespected me at first. Like, just stood in the paint. I knocked down a three, and then he started playing some defense. And I remember after the game, like, I just, you know, went and shook the hands like you always do sometimes with the people you play. And he gave me a little encouragement and just said, keep working hard, you know. And that's when I first, like, realized, damn, this is surreal. Like, I really made it, you know.
That's dope. What other players, like, did you, like, you played against, I mean, Dirk is still in the league.
Yeah.
Now he's, like, iconic. You know, yeah. He's hobbling through. I love Dirk.
I love Dirk.
I mean, how could you not, especially that he's still, I mean, like, Tim Duncan. Because, like, one thing I know from talking to you guys, whether it's football or basketball, like, you know, that I'm speaking to athletes, you guys don't like to acknowledge or give love Like, you could talk about Kobe now, but if he was still playing, you wouldn't because you don't give that thing. So, out of the guys that are left, or Dirk you could give because he's Dirk. But, like, who are the other players that are not in the league where you were like, oh, shit? Like, those oh, shit moments that you were just so impressed with. You're in fucking Sweden in a town that's, like, smaller than, like, a small town in Oklahoma.
But what helped me was I got to Detroit. And Detroit just won the championship. I had Ben Wallace. I had Rip Hamilton. I had Tayshaun Prince. And they were all my teammates.
Now. And what are those guys like?
Great teammates, man. Great friends.
What
great
was Ben teammates. Wallace like at that point in his career?
Ben was like, he's like maybe the best teammate I ever had.
Why?
He just fucking works hard, man. He's a
even at that horse. Point.
Even at that point. He was the first one in the gym. He showed me the way, like, some of the shit that was going on when I was in Detroit with all the coaching changes that was going on, like, he was just like, he always told me, like, just stay in the gym, work hard. This is not the real NBA that you're seeing right now. Just fucking stay in your lane. And I just remember, like, I was always trying to be the first one in the fucking gym, but I could never be the first one in the gym because Ben was always earliest. Like, he was always in the weight room. And I was always second, almost. Like, I'm always second. Like, it was almost frustrating because he was always there that early getting work in.
That's cool.
And that's really what showed me the way, like, what really got me, like, to work as, like, I wanted to work as hard as him. Like, that's he total. always fucking put the work in.
What about Rip? I mean, he was so good, man, for so long.
Yeah, I mean,
mask, Rips not on, man. It's hard to even recognize him with the mask off now. Like, I see him doing broadcasts. I'm like, oh, that's Rip. Like, he should do the broadcast with the fucking mask.
Yeah, Rip's a pro, man. Rip's a pro. And one thing I learned from Rip was to take care of your body because he was always, you know, very cautious, and so was Tayshaun, about what they ate and what they did with their bodies, like stretching and all that kind of shit. And I was like, shit, they've been doing this for a long time. I better do what they did. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
So are you still on that? Like, eat well?
Yeah. I've been, like, from my rookie year, from when I seen what these guys were doing till now, like, I'm trying to do what they did. And, you know, it's important. It's more important than you think. Like, when you're young and you're 19, 20, 21, you don't really care what you put
in your
body.
30. I'm 47, okay? I know. You're 30 years old?
30.
You could see, and you're playing basketball. It's like, what don't you eat? You got ice cream sundae on the plane?
Yeah, I could still do that shit, but I try not to.
Okay.
But, I mean, yeah, they really showed me the way.
Those guys are hardcore.
Yeah, they're hardcore. But, like I said, they kind of stopped me from being starstruck, too, because I was already starstruck in training camp.
Like, with them?
Yeah. Like, they're normal people, too. But when you come into the league and your teammates, it's Tayshaun Prince, Rip Hamilton, and Ben Wallace, like, I don't care if I'm playing against fucking Baron Davis and Kobe and LeBron and all those guys. I got my teammates backing me up.
You know? I like that.
So that's really what got me just fucking concentrating on basketball.
I like that. Okay, I'm going to ask you some other names. Baron Davis, he was still doing his thing.
He was doing his thing.
How good was he?
I mean, he was good, man. Hard to stop. Just fucking scorer. What can you say? I mean, that man can play.
Who would you say is the toughest person you've had to guard in your career? Not talking about LeBron, because
I was about to say LeBron.
Well, that's the obvious.
Kobe, then.
Kobe.
I mean, he has, like, shot fakes, the fakes, like the jab steps. I mean, you can't stop it. Like, he'll get whatever shot he wants.
Like, and you're just trying to just. Hopefully he stay
hopefully
in front
he
of
miss
him
and just fucking keep a hand in his face, and hopefully you can stop him from seeing the rim. But he's by far the most skilled scorer I've ever tried to guard. Because nobody can guard that man.
Tim Duncan, obviously, you know, he's more in the block. How good was Tim Duncan?
Yeah, Tim's a little bit bigger than me, so I never really got to guard him unless it was on a switch or something. But talking to Ben Wallace and shit, like, I mean, that bank jumper, I mean, how are you...
From, like, 17 feet.
And, you know, he's 7 foot. Like, how are you supposed to stop it?
And he makes it look so easy. And then when, like, people are like, oh, you know, he's doing this... I feel like making bank shots is harder, but somehow he makes it look like it's a layup.
Yeah, it's a fucking layup. I mean, he was an unbelievable player. And same with Melo when he was going strong. I mean, Melo was, he's like a taller Kobe. He had a similar kind of
footwork,
like the jab steps, the, yeah.
Yeah, he's, you know, the thing about Melo for me, it's like, I don't know, his career is so weird because the Denver and then the New York and then, you know, he, you know, and then now he's in OKC. But like when, say what you want, I never was like against him as a New York fan because I was like, yo, when this guy gets going, it's a fucking thing of beauty. Like he could do the whole outside, inside, back to the basket. You know, he could do the whole offensive arsenal.
Yeah.
Biggest shit talker in the NBA today.
And today?
Is the art of shit talking in the NBA gone? Are you guys not talking as much?
A little bit. I get triggered by people talking shit to me, then I talk shit back. I'm usually not the one to start it. I don't know why. I've always kind of, but like in the NBA nowadays, like cameras catch everything, man.
Oh.
Cameras catch
everything. So you have to be aware of it.
You have to be aware. Like eight.
And you can't do it overtly. It's got to be like a whisper.
Yeah, would you
like
imagine if they had the same kind of cameras they got now 10 years ago?
I got you.
And, you know, we didn't get fined for saying shit.
I got you. So you guys are very aware of the cameras. So
you have to be aware. Otherwise, you're going to lose a lot of money.
That's interesting.
You have to be aware.
That is very interesting. Because and if they miss it during the broadcast, they'll catch it on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then the Instagram will go back to the NBA.
It's viral. Viral. I mean, you wake up in the morning.
Fucking Instagram is ruining the shit talking in the NBA. Yeah. That's a good point.
You wake up in the morning and it will be viral. Like if you say something stupid, I mean,
I got you.
Could only imagine the shit that was said like a few years ago that wasn't caught on camera.
That's very interesting because, if it misses during the broadcast, it's going to get caught up somewhere.
Yeah, somebody's going to pick it up. Like you got people, you know, replaying the games. Some people are probably replaying the games just to find shit.
And so you guys are aware of that.
You have to be aware of that.
When you were in Boston, you're with the Utah Jazz now. The finals, the playoffs last year, I mean, I'm a New Yorker. You understand the politics of a New Yorker rooting for the Celtics?
Yeah.
You understand that?
Not really,
okay.
But yeah.
Okay, I hate the fucking Celtics growing up. Larry Bird, fucking Robert Parrish. Fucking GM, Danny Ainge, the whole bunch of them. Bill Fitch, Bill Russell's overrated. I could tell you all this stuff.
Yeah.
So for me to be screaming at the TV and like, beat these motherfuckers, and I was public about it. Beat these motherfuckers. Brad Stevens and that Celtics team, and you had Isaiah last year. How much of a ride was that? Just watching Isaiah that great. I mean, I wrote a chapter about Muggsy Bogues. Like Isaiah Thomas was like, when you're like almost midget size, short person.
Yeah.
I mean, how Isaiah Thomas last year when he was rock and rolling, how good is he?
It's unbelievable, man. Unbelievable player, unbelievable will. And just the skill set, and he just uses it to the fullest, man. He's a scorer. And like the thing was with our team, we all bought into it. Like we knew what he did well. Like he scores the ball. We don't care if he fucking takes 20 shots in a row and misses them all. Like, we know he can fucking score the ball for us. Like, let's get him to fucking score the ball. And he did. And, like, yeah, we had a real good, like, just camaraderie in the team. And we just had good guys just all buying in to trying to win.
That series got chippy. I mean, it was, like, as close to old school basketball.
Yeah.
Like, how intense was that series, like you remember?
It was intense. I feel like we fucking wanted that first game. Like, we wanted one of those two games at home. And I feel like we could have had the first one. I feel like we didn't play as good as we could have. So it kind of sucks, you know, looking back at it now. But obviously, Cleveland was the better team.
Right.
They beat us, you know, every year almost.
Right.
Not the second year, but they beat us the first year. You know, it felt good, obviously, to get that win, but doesn't matter in the long run. But I feel like we had the tools to beat a team like that, but LeBron James, he's a great player.
He's a great player. There's no denying it.
Yeah.
When Brad Stevens is like, he seems like a basketball savant, you know, his career, Butler, and he comes to the Celtics, he turns in, like, what is Brad Stevens even saying? Like, the mentality to stop LeBron James, is it team or is it just don't let him hit a triple-double? Is he more dangerous passing the ball? Like, what is the sort of... you're not stopping him.
Yeah, Yeah, no, you can't stop the guy. I mean, he's going to get his stats. You know, you can do it a different ways. You can either, okay, let him get his points and let him score as much as he can and take away all the other guys. But, you know, he's going to find a way. He's going to find a way. He's that good of a player that he's going to find a way to get his teammates involved. I mean, it's tough. You've seen it. I mean, we see it in the league every game almost. So
I never seen anything like it as consistent. Nah, the fact that he's doing it this year, I don't know what's going on. I've lost like 19th year, 15th year. It just feels like it's still the eighth year. Yeah. Like there's not like, oh, we're starting to see a decline.
Whatever he's doing with his body, I need to ask. Cause, I mean, he's taking care of himself, and he's
and good fortune, right?
Good fortune. You got to be lucky, you know, with injuries and all that. You got to be lucky, and obviously he's doing a lot of things right, and he's one of the greatest to play the game, and you know, there's no denying it.
Utah Jazz, you got Rubio, you got Donovan Mitchell, you got a good group of guys. You guys are like, you know.
Yeah, we got a lot of unselfish guys that knows how to play the game of basketball, and coach is really, you know, putting in a system for us that can really move the ball and use our strengths. So obviously it's going to take some time. We only played together for, 3 months?
Right.
So it's going to take some time, and then we got some work to do, but we got the tools. And
right.
I see it in practice. I feel it, like, just the camaraderie in the team, the way we play. Like, we're so up and down right now, we got to be more consistent. But, you know, it comes with time. Like I said, we only played together for 3 months. So, you know, Ricky with point guard, you know, you got Rudy in there to alter shots. You got Derek Favors, you know, Hood can score the ball. You got Joe Ingles. I mean, Donovan Mitchell coming in. I mean, you got so many good players that can play the game the right way. So, we got an interesting future. And I think we can surprise a lot of people. We just got to get more consistent.
I agree. Now, the lifestyle of the NBA.
Yeah.
You get in at 3 a.m. to Boston.
Yeah.
And, like, you sleep?
Yeah, I couldn't really sleep, so I watched a couple of TV shows right before I went to bed.
Anything I was in?
Mindhunter.
Okay, I was not in that show. Okay. All right. They didn't have Netflix or Showtime?
Netflix is what I watched.
Oh, it was on Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm on a Netflix show now. That's fine. We'll talk about that later. You could check that out. I know you guys have plenty of time. So you get in at 3, and then you have practice today. You have an off day. Are you ever like, fuck, practice? And like, what is the off day of practice when you're in Boston after coming off a loss?
Yeah. I mean, we woke up. I woke up at like 10:45. Had to be in the weight room at 11. You know, got some light weights in, you know, stretch the body out a little bit, go over here, get some shots up, and that's it.
So I mean, it's light?
It's light. It's light. I mean, not all coaches are the same, though. I mean, you got old school coaches, you got new coaches, I mean, like I said, I was five and a half years in Detroit, and I had 6 different coaches.
5.5 years and 6 different coaches. Who had the most intense practices that you, like, who's consistently has hard practices?
Stan had consistently pretty hard practices.
Stan Van Gundy.
Yeah.
His practices, they're just longer, more intense. Like, the Van Gundy's brothers, like, they're from the 90s. Jeff, Stan, I think they got, like, Rocco Van Gundy. They got a whole Van Gundy crew. Like, they're, like, in the 90s.
Yeah.
Now, your coach now, he played in North Carolina, right?
Duke. Yeah.
Same thing to me. I'm a Big East guy. They're ACC.
Yeah.
And how are you like playing for him?
I love playing for Quinn. He's if not the best coach I've had, one of the best. You know, just like, you know, he's played the game. He knows how it is. He knows how the body feels. He really listens to the players.
Cool.
So it's been really cool these 3 months to see how he handles the team. Because like I said, I've seen a lot of different coaching, and I'd say this is the best coaching I've had in the league.
So you had 6 in Detroit. Brad Stevens. So this is like your eighth coach.
6, 7, 8. Yeah, 8th coach, and this is my 9th year.
That's crazy, man.
It is crazy.
Playing in Utah, the crowd and the arena, like, they're like on top of you.
It's great. I mean, it's...
And they have a great DJ, surprisingly.
Yeah, I heard the you. Utah, I seen you write that.
Yo, the Utah Jazz, because you know they have the little music cues.
Yeah.
And you would think Utah, they play good music in there.
No, our fans, man, are great. I mean, I had great fans here in Boston. Obviously, you know, we had some great playoff runs. and the fans were great. But Utah fans, man, they're showing up here in the regular season, and just walking around town, just everybody's real, just supportive of the team. Like, no matter how, if we're winning or losing, like, they're just diehard Utah Jazz fans, and it's pretty cool to see.
All right, well, listen. Jonas Jerebko, it was a pleasure. I'm a big fan. I want to see you continue to kick ass. I want to see continue to bring back shit-talking to the NBA without getting fined. The art of shit-talking. It's tough. Like, you guys got to, like, yeah, it's like the movie Casino. You know the movie? Like, that's how you guys got to do it. That, on the
if
bench.
If you watch people, though, that's what people do right now when they talk. They put their jersey over their mouth sometimes.
On the bench, I see you guys doing that. But, like, if you see somebody, a player going up to an opponent
might
doing
be
that.
Might be shit-talking.
That's got to be shit-talking.
Might be shit-talking going on.
All right, well, bring it back as long as you don't get fined. I appreciate you joining the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. Jonas Jerebko.
Great. That's it.
That was good.
That was good. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, come on, man. I can't wait, man. We're going to get this back to Sweden. We're going to get it popping in Sweden. All right. Brand new Buttersoft I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast t-shirts are available at store.barstoolsports.com. You wanted it. I wanted it. We are introducing the very first Stickman Hall of Fame t-shirt. Oh, it's a thing of beauty. It's Buttersoft, the Stickman Hall of Fame t-shirt, okay? And of course, we have the You Fuck You t-shirt, the world famous Suck a Shit t-shirt, the Gringo Mandingo t-shirt, the Rapmatic t-shirt, and all I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast products at store.barstoolsports.com. I mean, who doesn't want a world famous Stickman Hall of Fame t-shirt? And you know it's Buttersoft. Go to store.barstoolsports.com now. All right. What can I say? I told you it was a dope episode. I told you that was a crazy story. I want to thank my man Jonas Jerebko, Utah Jazz. I want to welcome all the new listeners of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, and I expect there'll be a whole bunch of you. My name is Michael Rapport. You can find me on Twitter, at Michael Rappaport, MichaelRapaport. On Instagram, same thing. On Snapchat, same thing. On Facebook, same thing. I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Rate, review, give us love on iTunes. The I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Thank you, Jonas, for rocking with me. Can't wait to have you on again. We're done.